music of Dr. Deborah Stroman, UNC professor, Virginia professor, sports aficionado, sports businesswoman, joins me every Friday to talk some sports. Deb, how's it going?
Things are going well. Looking forward to the weekend. It's always a good time to be in Chapel Hill.
No doubt about that. Well, Chapel Hill has been a buzz since last night. We've been talking a little bit already on the air today about the news of G.G. Jackson. He is a rising high school recruit, was going to be a senior in the class of 2023, had verbally committed to the Tar Heels, South Carolina-born high school player, and it seems like his plans have changed a little bit. Because G.G. had, again, initially verbally committed to the Tar Heels and then announced last night on social media he's decommitting. The first time that's happened to Carolina since 2003 when J.R. Smith decided he was not going to come to the Tar Heels. And Chapel Hill's a bit, it's buzzing because of it, Deb. I've been hearing a lot of different sides of how fans are feeling about this. But when you heard the news, when you saw this yesterday, it had been swirling for several weeks. What was your reaction?
I will say that, as most people in the listening audience know, I am an alum, I am an employee, and I think Carolina basketball is just amazing. However, the fan base is spoiled, and there is a spirit of entitlement. We really need to stop. Coach Davis has a great class returning. Great group of players returning, a great class coming in. And haven't we learned that we don't always win championships? Because that's how UNC men's basketball is measured, by Final Fours and rings, that you don't always win championships with the best players. Would it have been nice to have G.G.? Absolutely. But to win, you need chemistry and coaching. So if I back it up, I will say that the only thing that he could be giving up, G.G. is giving up by not being a Tar Heel, is the academic affiliation. And for someone who, on paper and on video, you see him on person, that he's going to be a multimillionaire soon, that's probably not a big consideration for him. The other thing that G.G. is giving up is the network. Now, this is big. UNC's network is global, and when you think about the universities that have produced leaders in the sport business industry, Carolina has to be in the top three. That's what he gives up. But what does he gain? Family approval. I read between the lines here. The quote stated from G.G. that my family has stuck by my side since I was born, guiding me in the right direction. It sounds like by making the commitment to Carolina, as in the University of North Carolina, that he hurt some family members, and he needed to make that right. He's also decreasing the hometown and state of South Carolina hate. And then lastly, he's going to get the money. There's money that maybe our NIL people couldn't put together, maybe our donors didn't grease enough hands, I don't know, but there's definitely more money to stay in South Carolina. But let's move beyond this, folks. It's one player, and Coach Davis has proven in his first year that he's building this thing for the future.
Yeah, I think it's just the most recent example that we have seen when it comes to high school recruits and in college basketball, where, you know, these kids change their minds. And there's also so much stuff happening behind the scenes. I think that some of the Carolina fans' vitriol, as a lot of, you know, when hate and anger bubble to the surface and people lash out, I think it stems from disappointment. Because G.G., by all measures, seems like a great kid, seems like a guy a lot of folks would have really enjoyed seeing not only play for Carolina because he's great, but play for Carolina because he seems to fit the character of the program. And, you know, also disappointed because, as I mentioned, this has not happened in ages, since really kind of the modern eras of college basketball, and especially in the one-and-done era for the Tar Heels. So I understand people being disappointed. That is not any reason to go flood somebody's social media comments. And who knows? Maybe South Carolina folks were doing that when he committed to the Tar Heels, too. But you're absolutely right, Deb. I think it kind of reminds me, and again, it's worth saying, G.G. Jackson to South Carolina has not been made official yet. He's not made any announcement along those lines, but it is believed that he's going to reclassify and actually try and be able to enter college basketball this upcoming fall and winter and be playing for the Gamecocks instead, very close to his hometown. I think, Deb, and tell me if I'm wrong here, kind of reminds me of Arch Manning going to Texas. We just heard this news not that long ago. Not because Arch is, you know, Texas is his home or anything, but Arch Manning going to Texas, he becomes the guy. He becomes the, like, highest rated recruit to go there in a long time, potentially, like, kind of the savior for the Texas program in the last decade. And G.G. Jackson, when he commits to South Carolina, is going to be the highest rated recruit they have had by far in the history of their men's basketball program. He's going to be able to be the dude in Columbia, hands down. And as you said, NIL opportunities there, you're closer to home. It's a little bit more of what you want, including being able to play this season instead of having to wait through another year of high school ball or high school circuits.
Well, there's no doubt you just flipped what I said. So I say you decrease the hometown and state of North Carolina hate. But another way to look at it, the way you state it, is that you'll get more love.
Yeah.
And so it is a win for sure. I also want to challenge people who are saying that this is the first time this has ever happened in North Carolina. We have technology now. We have video clips. We have announcements on social media. But I'm sure in the history of North Carolina, there have been other players who said yes to Coach Smith, to Coach Williams, and possibly Coach Davis that don't get the public that we don't know about. And so again, it's another way that we lift up North Carolina to make it seem like it's untouchable, that things couldn't ever happen to North Carolina that are disturbing or hurtful to the fan base. There are a lot of things, most things happen that the fan base, the public has no idea what's going on. This one was public. This happened to be arguably the number one high school player. But I think North Carolina is in good shape. You know, the issue of having that scholarship and trying to fit him in, or not having a scholarship and not trying to fit him in, it's A-OK. UNC is going to move forward. I also think this is related to, you know, what the NBA can control in college basketball. As in Adam Silver this past week, he stated that he's hopeful that the current age limit is going to be changed during the next collective bargaining agreement. And so players won't have to have a semester and a half stop in college and then go to NBA. Yeah. There will be more players who will actually say, you know, forget all this back and forth, and I'm just going straight to the league.
Yeah. From your perspective, Deb, as somebody who played college basketball, has coached college basketball, and of course you have relationships with players out there and people who are connected, very well connected in the sport of basketball, do you think that would be a good thing to allow high school kids and it's worth noting NBA teams to pay high school kids straight from that level of the sport to the professional level? Has that been kind of the consensus from when you talk to people? Would it be okay for that? Has the perception changed since that rule was put into place?
Absolutely. It has changed. There have been approximately, I think, 41 players that have made the jump from high school to the NBA. And of course, the one everybody thinks about is Michael Jordan when he was with the Wizards and he selected Kwame Brown as number one. That didn't go so well. But when you think about Hall of Famers like Kevin Garnett, Kobe, Tracy McGrady, and then most likely Hall of Famers, LeBron James, Dwight Howard, there are a lot of guys who have made the jump and who have made it not only to possibly being an All-Star in Hall of Fame, but who actually just made the league and was able to play for a number of years. And so when you think about freedom, you think about social justice, you think about, you know, all the capitalists out there. If you're offered a job when you're 17, 18 years old, you go for it. And especially when you're talking about numbers, you know, six figures at an early age. I think it takes the reins off of more young people, because certainly if you're a great musician, if you're a great artist, you can go and you can get paid. But yet there's something about controlling the basketball player, controlling a lot of young athletes. And there are some who argue that there shouldn't even be an age limit at all. If you have the physical body to be able to compete at that level, give them a shot.
Yeah. I can't help but think, and we were talking about this a little earlier, in the newsroom, can't help but think we're not that far from eventually seeing basketball kind of adopt the same culture as soccer, where you just have academies that are run by the big teams, and kids are scouted from a very young age. And maybe instead of a draft for that competitive balance, you just have academies where players are developed by those teams. I also think,
well, this has been going.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, please.
I was going to say
this is the this is the thought in the academy. Many academics, certainly at Carolina faculty, I've been in so many faculty meetings over the years around this, that for all the value that a great athlete brings to the university, when they leave after a semester or two, and I shouldn't say just UNC, I'm saying all college big time sports, there's somebody who could have used that slot. And, you know, these guys leave early for the pros, and that was their intention. They're very, you know, upfront about it. But there could have been someone else in that slot.
Mm. Yeah, well, along those lines, we've got a couple minutes left, so I want to pose this question to you. And I think it is going to be kind of the question that a lot of folks will ask this year. And, of course, there's no way to really answer it until we get to the end of the season. But you go, okay, well, if G.G. Jackson wanted to reclassify and be able to play college basketball this season, Carolina did have an open roster spot for a little bit where he could have joined. That roster spot was filled up when they took in the Northwestern transfer, Pete Nance, who, you know, has joined the team, is going through summer practices and workouts right now. In your mind, Deb, what do you think is kind of more important for the future of the Tar Heel program, the short-term future of the Tar Heel program? Would it have been getting G.G. Jackson reclassified and playing just likely one season with the Tar Heels with this current roster makeup? Or do you think, just based on what we know from Pete Nance, what he is going to bring to the table as a transfer, and as Carolina's trying to gear up and make another run for the national title this year?
So, G.G. Jackson, that decision had nothing to do with branding or basketball development as a player, because he was only going to stay for a semester, right, or a semester and a half. That's what, 6-7 months to be able to develop a player? So what I'm going to think about is what the coaches go through in this recruiting season. It is so challenging, and I can really use this word. They chase. They chase players. They chase parents. They chase AAU grassroots coaches. That can be unbearable. It really can. And so when you have a proven player like a Nance who says, I want to be a Tar Heel, I watch with what Brady did last year, and I can have that potential. I can put on the Carolina jersey. I'm proven. You can look at my numbers. You can look at the film. You take it. That takes off some of that stress and that pressure. I can imagine, even though G.G. Jackson's family is probably wonderful, his handlers are wonderful, it gets old. It gets old. And especially when you are a blue blood, I mean, how much convincing do you have to do? So I think they made the right decision, not knowing where this would end up, of course. But either way, Carolina men's basketball is going to be fine.
Yeah. What is that famous Dean Smith saying that he used to say to folks on the recruiting trail? Something to the gist of, if you come join the team, we have a chance to win the national championship. If you don't join the team, you go play somewhere else. Guess what? We're going to have a chance to win and play for the national championship. Something along those lines. There's no doubt. It is funny, too. G.G. Jackson, class of 2023 kid. We've got a whole season of basketball to play, and it's going to be a pretty important one, and maybe a very special one for the Tar Heels, too. Lots still to look forward to coming up in just a few months, Deb. I'm already excited about basketball season.
I am, too. I'm fired up. I'm looking forward to this conference of realignment to see if we can hold steady. But I know the Big Ten will be announcing their media rights, their development soon, and that's going to really answer a lot of questions in terms of how much money they can use to go poach or recruit other schools. Mm. So it's going to be a great, you know, July, August, and watching all of this. I do trust the tradition of the ACC that we'll figure this out one way or another.
I do too, and I have a feeling we're going to be talking about it a lot more in weeks to come. So go enjoy your weekend, Devin. We look forward to welcoming you onto the air next time.
Thank you. Go Heels.